How do we cope with feeling stuck? The feeling that we're not making progress, the feeling that we're totally unsure about what direction our lives are going, or that our goals haven't improved at the rate we wanted them to. Maybe they've even taken several steps backwards.
And I think right now, every time we have a vacation, you're the only one that doesn't actually take a vacation. Like, that happens every time. And last break, I was trying to micromanage your break, and you got mad at me. You were like, let's just each like worry about our own breaks. But I just think you don't know how to do it. I just don't think you know how to actually step away. And put the work down, genuinely.
This audio is from a phone call Amar and I had back in October 2020. He was struggling to mentally recover after miraculously surviving a brutal car accident.
I was merging lanes and I got hit from behind, literally after calling off skydiving because it was too dangerous. Just completely rolled off the highway. I literally can't believe I'm alive. Oh my God.
The car flipped multiple times and flew off the highway to finally stop with only a few scratches left on his body. After such a near-death accident, in some ways, I think he hoped that it would be the ultimate wake-up call to transform his life. But the path to recovery isn't so pretty and simple. He also didn't really take the break he needed to process what had just happened. On top of that, I had recently left the country after this accident, and Matt had stopped filming videos with us, leaving Amar and I making videos separately and on our own.
It matters so much to you, which is good, but also not good. I think it's like too much of you is ingrained in the work. And I think learning how to put it down and just be Amar and like lean into what that means and learning to enjoy that person, be with that person, I think is the most valuable thing you can possibly do in your life. And it's really hard.
In Amar's case, learning how to put things down and take a break for mental recovery and rest has been challenging for a long time. Especially during such a challenging year where the balance between wanting to slow down, yet also feeling the pressure to put exponential more effort to get anything done, was overwhelming.
I think you've got like a dysmorphed version of workaholism that Matt and I had through anxiety, and you have it through like emotionally, like feeling just in it all the time. And maybe it's also because you put the most of your personal story into it, but right now your personal story is giving yourself some space. And we all agree.
He eventually did take a break, but came out of it unsure about how he felt about his personal growth. The feeling of having been stagnant compared to a year ago was hard to shake off. And I think for many of us this year, including myself, the feeling of stagnation has likely been constant. The hardest part for me was learning how to differentiate what's within my control and what isn't. So how do we do that? How do we continue living our lives when things just aren't going our way? When everything seems to be working against us, and no matter what we try, nothing seems to work. Well, today Amar and I sit down to discuss our different experiences with stagnation, and how we have both experienced feeling stuck more than ever in our lives, and what we've done to counteract that feeling. From Headspace Studios, welcome to the Yes Theory Podcast. So today we're actually going to talk about the feeling that I think every single person on the planet can relate to, particularly this year, which is the one of stagnation. I think a lot of people pre-COVID felt stuck. And during COVID and currently, the feeling of being not only physically stuck, but also stagnant in personal aspects of our life, of growth, of friendships, of work, career, it's been impossible to escape. You know, it's just always there.
What has been your experience with that feeling? At what points over the past year did you feel stagnant? Because we had very polar experiences.
Yeah, you and I were totally off sync for the whole time.
Which is why I think this conversation is going to be very interesting, because Thomas just came back from a 6-month long trip out to Europe where he got locked out of the country. Basically, he couldn't come back to the US because of visa problems. So we were experiencing opposite life, but in a way, still similar problems.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My issue with stagnation is I can't freaking stand it. I go insane when I feel stagnant. Mm. And when I can't do anything about it, I don't know what to do. I think sometimes to a fault, I'm very driven, which is good. I think we all are. And that's why we all bonded. But when I feel like my growth is outside of my control, I'd never felt that stripped away of ability to influence my outcome or my environment.
What does stagnation feel like to you? Like, how do you identify that feeling of stagnation?
When it feels like my effort is higher than what I'm seeing change around me. When I feel like I have to put a lot more energy towards something and then I'm getting less than I've seen in the past. And I'm sure that so many people can relate to that. At least that's kind of the best way I can describe it. How would you describe the feeling of stagnation? I feel like for you, it's different, no? Because you're thinking about the topic of stagnation, like when we were talking about it yesterday, and you were seeing it more from a lens of personal growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you describe the feeling of stagnation? Because you said you felt stagnant for a while.
I would say this is the first time in my life where I'm not looking forward towards my birthday, because I feel like when I take a step back and look at the past year of my life, I just don't feel like I have moved forward at the pace that I've envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to my own relationship with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where my feeling of stagnation mainly stems from.
Mm-hmm. So how were you envisioning change? What was the change that you were envisioning?
I think the mistake that I was doing is still thinking about it in like a linear fashion, where I'm growing on a curve and that curve is, you know, shooting up in an upward trend and it's just going to continue like that. But the reality is that it's more of, you don't follow one line, but you end up going from one realm to the other. So, you know, I think a big part of growing up and just feeling now, okay, I'm becoming 27 years old, is these realizations about the nature of time and how time passes and how your own growth cycle works. And I think with that comes a lot of wisdom and patience towards yourself, which is I have the biggest lack of. And that's why, again, I'm super grateful to be having this conversation today, because I'm really, really struggling with that. And again, this I was telling you yesterday, I have like a feeling of physical pain when I think about my birthday coming up, because of how much I feel like I've become lazy and complacent towards my own growth. You know, the year kind of put us all at home, and instead of making the most out of that, of really making use of this all this extra time and extra opportunity to look at myself, I feel like I have just avoided doing that. And you know, when the world just took that pause, that became the biggest mirror for people to see how much we were living out of just survival.
The problem is, like a mentor of ours said, surviving is the new thriving, right? Like, you can't compare this to a regular year. And I think knowing you and being a friend from like the outside perspective, I think you give yourself way less credit than you deserve. It's funny, like sometimes you're tough on yourself when you shouldn't be, and you're almost like letting yourself get away with things that you shouldn't. And I think for the most part, the times that you're hard on yourself is contributing negatively to action in some ways. Like, I've seen you be down and really hard on yourself, and from that, struggle with getting out of bed, you know? And I think that's where self-improvement sometimes hits a wall, where it's like, if you feel like shit about yourself because you're not exercising or you're not meditating or, you know, and then that can lead to more, right? Like, I've noticed in my own actions, it's like a streak. If I skip exercise, I feel like I'm more likely to eat a terrible breakfast or spend more time on Twitter or whatever. It's like an escape to deal with the feeling of disappointment. And that contributes to more negative. And I think you should definitely be proud to be turning 27. Because you've learned and grown so much this past year. And you should recognize that. Somebody said recently, some chapters of your life, you just don't know the title of it until way after. You know, and sometimes, like, how do you even measure stagnation? There might be like immense growth happening that you don't even know is happening. Jerry Seinfeld recently said if he could go back to his life, the main thing he would keep are his failures. And, you know, it's very pretty to say when you're a billionaire, but it's true, right? Like, those are literally the moments where growth is catapulted. But in the moment, it feels terrible. Like, we say seek discomfort, and it sounds cool and it looks cool on a t-shirt, but discomfort sucks.
Yep.
Like, it's not fun. And the key is to actually figure out how to accept that an uncomfortable feeling is okay to have.
I guess, you know, back to the question of like, how do you identify stagnation? I feel like a year after this long pause from the world is that I now have developed more bad habits than good ones, even though we were all given this opportunity to pause and examine ourselves and see what are the parts that we really want to work on. And I feel like in every one of these categories, I've set goals and I've said that I've wanted to change in certain ways or evolve in certain ways, and I completely dropped the ball on all of that. That's why the only thing I'm left with is that I am a lazy piece of shit. And
but
I can't...
But you see how crazy that is to say that to yourself?
But I'm saying that like... I'm saying that as a... Like, I'm commenting on my internal dialogue.
I know, but that's what
I'm really, like, as I say that, I'm also, like, in a way, I believe that because, like, I feel that I have become lazy. And that's, like, I feel like people around me can tell me as much as they want that, oh, my God, do you see your life? Do you see what you've built? But I'm the only one that can honestly have that assessment.
Okay, well, then play it out this way. Like, what are the main things that you're not doing that you wish you were doing?
All in regards to taking care of myself, taking a better care of my health, my mind, my spirit, my body, like all these things.
That's a lot. That's a whole lifetime of discipline. And like, you're also somebody who literally fights against structure, right? Like naturally when you have something that, and I'm the same, like when there's anything that you feel like you have to do, you specifically orchestrate to make sure you don't do that. So it's maybe the method, you know, that you need to examine to figure out, like, because your brain, every brain, like, you can trick every human brain. You know what I mean? That's why people are able to make us addicted to freaking Instagram. You know what I mean? Like, it's a game that you can play with your brain.
Hmm.
And figuring out how your brain needs the game played is the way to do it.
Hmm.
And the thing is, every person's brain is in meditation, they say it's like a wild horse, right? That needs to be tamed. And you're just born with a black stallion. You're born with a freaking crazy ass horse that's very powerful and has a lot to offer. But if you don't learn how to tame it, that brain is deciding where you're going all the time.
Mm.
Right. And some people are born calm, but maybe not as creative, maybe not as energetic, maybe not as, you know, intuitive or emotional, whatever. Right. And then those people have their own set of challenges, maybe not being able to connect with people as quickly or not being able to come up with ideas just whenever they want. Like, everyone has their thing. And I think for you, it's a lifelong practice to figure out how to tame like your black stallion of a brain.
Mm.
You know, the black stallion is the most powerful horse, but it's the hardest one to train.
Mm.
And that's just the journey. Like, you can't anchor your comparison to somebody else, because everyone has their own thing that is hard for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if discipline is yours, then just figuring out like, what game does your brain need you to play to get there?
What game has your brain responded to? Because I feel like in our dynamic, I am more like you than I am like Matt.
Right.
I'm actually more of like opposite to Matt.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that I feel like we share in regards to character traits, and also our ADD or learning disabilities, dyslexia, like there's all these things.
Yeah.
But it seems like over the past 2 years, you've really honed in on figuring out what that game is, and you've played it with your brain, and it's mm-hmm. worked. So what are your tricks, man?
It's a good question. I think growing up, my mom realized right away that if I don't build habits or routine, I'm going to be in prison, you know? Mm. Like, I was so active as a child, like extremely active.
Mm.
I barely slept. You know, my mom always jokes that she's going to hire like an orchestra and like play outside of my room at every day at 4 a.m. to get revenge of the first years of my life.
Oh, yeah, she always says my entire childhood.
It's weird because I was a more tame teenager, but up until my teenage years, I was extremely active. You know, especially like before I entered school, and it was just like I couldn't pay attention, like impossible, you know. And then I think in a way, like school was an extremely difficult thing for me to do, like sitting down and paying attention. And I was born dyslexic, so I couldn't really read, couldn't write. Like it took me years to catch up with just baseline. And even then, like even today, like I still struggle with reading, still struggle with spelling and all of this stuff. And I think school forced me to learn how to build structure. I've noticed I'm most restless by far sometimes on Sundays when like we're not working and I don't know what to do. I go crazy. Like I need to know what to do. But sometimes I just don't know how to relax. And when I don't know what to choose to do, I go crazy. So knowing what to do gives me a lot of peace of mind. Like knowing when I'm waking up, what I'm eating for breakfast, like automating some of these decisions so that they're no longer decisions. They're just actions that are happening in a series of orders, like actually gives my brain some guardrails to think, because otherwise it's just chaos. And that's what basically the last 6 months for me, like I have had zero structure. I wake up kind of when I can, and some nights, several nights in a row, I don't sleep at all. And then I have to wake up the next day and film and, you know, go on this amazing adventure, but also be active and not be like tired on camera. Like I have to actually put out energy and I'm around people and, you know, like things are happening. And so now I'm for the first time starting to move my wake up schedule to be earlier and earlier. I'm waking up at 7, but I'm working my way down. I'm not going from like waking up at 8 to 5:30 a.m. immediately, because I know that that's just going to mess me up for the week, but working my way down, because I've noticed in the mornings when I have time, when the first thing I do isn't to run into a meeting and have a bunch of people tell me 1,000 things we need to do, I feel so much better. When I have like an hour or even 2 hours of just doing work that allows me to feel prepared, I feel like I'm actually able to approach my day so much more intentionally. Because of the nature of what we do, every day is different, right? Like one day is just giving notes on edits and voiceovers, and one day is meetings, and one day is recording a podcast, and one day is whatever. Having a bit more time before the day starts helps me feel like I'm a little bit in control of what I do. Because otherwise, it's just always anchored by what other people need from me, which is fine, but that gets overwhelming, you know. It takes away this feeling that like you're you're in charge of your own life, and I don't like that.
I feel like you are doing a lot of pushback on my own perception of my stagnance, and I feel like this is probably something that a lot of people are facing right now. Is like the line between being just very honest with yourself and where you're actually stagnant and where you need to pursue growth. And when it's coming out of lack of self-love or, you know, bad internal dialogue, which is in this situation, your claim is that mine is more out of that rather than out of it being an objective opinion about where I'm at. Like, how can someone make a more holistic assessment of whether they're stagnant or not?
I think you have to anchor it on something, right? Because I'm very hard on myself as well when it comes to growth and progression. And I want to feel like we're moving forward with Yes Theory. I don't want to feel like what we're making currently is the best stuff we've ever made. Because it can't always be the best thing you've ever made. Like it's not a realistic expectation. No matter how hard you try, there's a constant up and down, which applies for life in general as well. There's an ebb and flow even in growth, right? Which is why the quote like, be 1% better every day is great on Instagram. But the reality is like, it's so much less clear than that, right? Because 2 years ago, I had the perfect morning routine, like literally like to the dot, I followed it for like basically a year straight. And then during COVID, I couldn't even like find motivation to get out of bed in the morning. I just didn't care at all. Like I've never had that before. Not once in my life have I ever struggled with energy waking up. And I felt like that was the most amount of steps backwards that I've ever, I didn't even have an anchor to measure how bad this felt. And I think it's a couple of things. The natural cycles of life are going to happen no matter what. And COVID made it harder for everyone. It was a like 10 steps backwards for everybody, for businesses, for small business owners, for parents, for students. Like every single person on the planet took steps backwards. And I think it took me like months to accept that.
Yeah, you had really strong resistance towards everything, like at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
Like you really...
I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it.
Because I feel like we started the year, you had such a clear vision for how you wanted this year to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting to get comfortable with your role and what is it that you're like really contributing and all these things. And you had all these plans for what you wanted to film, things you wanted to make. This year really caught you off guard more than any of us.
Yeah. Because when you're talking about feeling stagnant, like what specifically are you talking about? Like what time you're waking up in the morning, or like how many times you work out a week? Like,
no, as I said, it's just
like how you
my
feel?
Feeling of the amount of action that I'm taking in comparison to the amount of knowledge and awareness that I have about myself, about my patterns, about what gets me to do things. And right now I feel like where I've really gone deep to understand why my conditioning is the way it is in regards to just always having the hardest time showing love towards myself or keeping a positive internal dialogue. Like I've really put a lot of effort into trying to understand why that is. But still, there's this constant gap between just being able to do something about it. And I'm sure that as I say that, I'm discounting other ways that I've grown. But I think maybe because over the past year, the only thing you were able to see or the only thing you were left with is your own self-improvement. That's why I think, maybe that's why I'm obsessing over it. Because the only thing that I had to measure or the only thing that was actually happening in the world is myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a real time realization right now. So I'm maybe it was just we weren't able to do as much. I wasn't able to travel. I wasn't able to engage socially with the world the way I was. And I'm, you know, this is the main way I thrive. I couldn't like smile and be out with people and like share that energy. So I feel like, yeah, the only thing that I was left with is just looking at my own self and my own behavior and constantly like measuring and assessing. But you see, in my mind, I was just thinking about the privilege that I have of like not struggling financially or not struggling with community, not living alone. Like we really had it good during. Yeah, so,
but that doesn't help, right?
I know, but my mind just couldn't let go of, again, this shitty internal dialogue of like feeling like I am wasting this privilege and this blessing that we don't need to worry about our survival and we don't need to worry about all these other things that 99% of the world is worrying about. But obviously it didn't help. It's not like that thought actually motivated anything in a good direction. It, if anything, it just like...
It didn't help me either.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to trick my brain to feel the same way. At least it's not that bad. Like that didn't help for me.
And I just realized that like the other thing that happened that was like the real steroids to that state is getting into the accident. I think the impacts of just realizing that I was given another chance also made me create even more expectations about all these things that I want to change in my life. I almost like doubled down on that expectations of me turning my life around, quote unquote, because I am fucking alive and I'm not dead. And I was given this opportunity to like be back out in the world and do what I love again. And I felt like every day I'm not doing something about it, I was wasting this blessing or gift. I let the guilt build up and let this shame of lack of action continue to just simmer inside of me until I'm actually unable to act anymore.
We'll dive into this after a quick break. Throughout my adult life, I've struggled with anxiety. And for a while, my mental health was majorly impacted by this. It wasn't until I started to take small steps every day and making daily meditation a part of my mental diet that I started to feel better. It was made amazingly easy and convenient for me using Headspace. Headspace is an easy-to-use app that offers you your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations. Backed by clinically proven research, Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I've now meditated every single day for 1,000 days straight using Headspace, and I can safely say that has changed my life. Meant to work around your schedule, Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/yestheory. That's headspace.com/yestheory for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now, so go to headspace.com/yestheory. And now, back to the episode. I'm going to ask you a strange question. Do you think you're addicted to unhappiness?
Yes, because of an inherent belief that I don't deserve the happiness, and I don't deserve the love, and I don't deserve the care.
I think that's step one.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's always going to be a thing that as soon as there's healthy habits that come in, those will get broken because of...
Oh, and that's the pattern. Dude, I would work out for a week and then look in the mirror, visually observe a difference, and I would just go straight to break all that progress by eating something that I wouldn't even eat in normal life. Just I go out of my way to break that progress because of just this feeling that I shouldn't look like that. I shouldn't I shouldn't feel like that.
I think for you it feels like much more reoccurring, but I experienced it through guilt in a way. Like when things are going really well, I have a very hard time actually feeling good about it. Sometimes I find myself anticipating something coming wrong soon, which is not great. But I feel like for you, it's stopping a lot of other things. Mm. It might be the main thing that's preventing you from moving on that growth that you're envisioning when you're talking about feeling stagnant. Like figuring out how do you actually give yourself permission to be happy. That's hard. Why do you think you're not giving yourself permission to be happy?
A lot of inherent childhood beliefs, things that I went through and my surroundings, my circumstances were all pointing towards that I like didn't deserve any of it, or the thought that only if people knew what actually is Joe or who I actually was, then nobody would treat me the way they are. So it's like a permanent state of feeling like I'm tricking the world. And now there are people watching. Like I feel like this amplified it to the max. Like it's no longer just with my family or you guys. It's like a lot of people that just meet me on the street and think they know who I am.
Yeah. But or maybe your antidote to stagnation is acceptance. Because acceptance sometimes can be confused with feeling like we have to accept all things that are negative in our lives, which is not the case. The practice of acceptance is accepting that they are the way that they are right now, but nothing is permanent.
It still confuses me. I still don't understand why I can be aware of all that. And
because it's not that simple. And you have a black stallion brain.
Yeah. Why I'm like trying so hard to think my way out, like as if it's a rational equation that like I don't know where the fuck I get that idea from, that construct of that this how like human emotions work.
Because you solve your other problems thinking, but the internal ones, that's not the way to solve it.
Yeah,
it's more of it feels more of like a feeling thing, which is through intuition and through patience. You're also trying to control your thoughts, which is something that I do all the time as well. And the more I try to do that, the less happy I am, because it's impossible, you know? The main premise, again, of meditation is to not try to control it. So in Michael Singer's Untethered Soul, he talks about how we aren't the voice in our heads that we hear doing all the internal conversations we do all day. We're the one listening. Mm-hmm. We're the consciousness that's hearing that voice. Mm. And so depending on what that dialogue is, it's going to impact what we receive all day, right? So if we have a very negative and very mean voice, he calls it the internal roommate. Mm. And if that voice is really mean, that's going to make us extremely unhappy. And he calls it the internal roommate so that we can imagine it as like, imagine if you live with that person and they were telling you that directly.
Dude, I would beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. Imagine if that person, when you're sitting down on your couch and you're at home and they're telling, or in the morning.
So rude. He's so fucking rude.
Right. You'd kick that roommate out, which is a bad sign. Right. So it's like a series of steps, but it's not necessarily a thinking thing. It starts with a solid step of awareness and then acceptance. by trying to go straight for habit, like you're trying to solve things at the root of the tree, but there's like the trunk of it hasn't fully reached full awareness and understanding yet, right?
What do you think that is for me?
I think it's partially acceptance. I think it's figuring out like what's the internal dialogue that's creating self-destructive patterns.
What is a good path towards that acceptance? Like, walk me through it.
I think it's a lot of time practicing. If it's an internal dialogue that's existed for 20 years, it takes a while to like change that, you know? And so it's just paying attention to it when it happens, like, oh, there it is.
That's crazy. Because I would say the main trauma in my childhood that where things kind of spiral out of control and I can trace back these patterns and those emotions to was when I was 7 years old. So
it's 20 years of that.
20 years of that. 20 years of one thing.
So you're trying to fix something that has been ingrained for 20 years. So that's the way to think about it. To just think about it in a way that, okay, cool. You know, this is going to take a little bit of time. And it's just about being patient with that.
It is interesting that feeling of stagnation has come up for both of us during a time where arguably S-Theory is doing the best it's ever done. Mm-hmm. We had just had the best season ever for videos. We have the highest numbers we've ever achieved. Yet, I think that's a good thing that even at a time where we should be off the high of progress and growth, we're still really looking inwards and realizing all the parts of our lives that we're not.
Yeah.
So what is the problem with stagnance?
I think it's largely perspective.
It's how, so how what defines if the stagnance are good or bad is your perspective on it?
I think so. I think it's very largely decided like based on how you look at it.
And respond to it.
And that's why you asked in the earlier, like, how do you measure stagnation? Because it's really hard to measure stagnation because, you know, most people credit the hardest periods in their life to the highest growth. So it's this trick that we think we're stagnating, but we're probably learning a lot, but it's just really hard to tell that we're learning a lot.
How have you broken through stagnation?
I think it's largely perception. To get back to the US, I had to fly through Bermuda. It was the only place in the world where I could get my visa sorted. And when I arrived and I had to be in quarantine for 4 days in this Airbnb by myself, I was so upset. After like 5 months of trying to go home, I now have to just be locked inside a room. Like, you have some time to think. And I was like, I had this moment, which is such a simple thing. It clicked to me that I've been looking at everything in my life with a glass half empty. Since COVID and even since before, I was always paying attention to everything that's wrong. And I think I have a very like problem-solving mindset. But the problem is I wasn't able to actually look at things that were working. When I did realize, though, that I was just putting an enormous amount of mental power and strength on the things that aren't working, and instead I would start asking myself, like, what is this an opportunity instead to do? And I started to think about all these things that I always tell myself, man, I wish I had more time to do X, Y, Z. And what is this an opportunity to spend time doing?
Oh man, it always just comes back to that quote from Rich Roll.
Yeah.
Action is the antidote to despair. How do you differentiate between determining that you are stagnant and room for growth is available, or whether that's a misconception about your own state?
In a weird way, I keep coming back to this being the answer to every single question I ever ask myself. It's balance. It's such a boring answer, but it's literally like the only thing that I can think of. Like, sometimes it's important to not be so hard on yourself. And then sometimes it's really about pushing yourself. And there's certain things like exercise that are hard to push yourself for, which is why people pay personal trainers to do it, right? But personal trainers, good ones, are also making sure that you're not getting injured, making sure that you're stretching, making sure that there's a program that's adjusted to your body type and your diet and your age and your past history of exercise. Like, all of those things are taken into consideration. So with the difficult things, sometimes we need to push ourselves because some things just aren't fun to do, but make us feel so much better, which is why habit works for exercise, because it's a thing that's much easier to just automate than to need to consciously do every time. But what's also true is that there's a strong correlation between high creativity and depression and anxiety. So that's just another thing that's a part of being a creative person. You know, I think with what we're building, I studied business and computer science, and I thought that that was going to be my primary focus. But I'm, in a weird way, this past year, more than ever before, starting to look at myself more as an artist than a business owner. And we are business owners, but I've been much more inspired, and I felt more like myself thinking about how do I continue growing creatively than how do I grow a business and make more money. I feel much more inspired thinking about the first one, because that's at the end of the day what excites me, is like feeling creatively inspired. A great idea or a great story, something that feels new and fresh, and feeling like we're improving somehow, whether the quality of our ideas are going up, or the quality of what we're putting out is going up, or the quality of our team, our process.
What's your number one piece of advice to me right now?
You asking me?
Yeah. I just feel like my own journey with feeling stagnant is shared by a lot of people this year. And I feel like you've done an amazing job to figure out your own perception towards stagnation, that I'm genuinely asking for advice.
Mm-hmm. I think there's two things. The first is figure out like how to unwind the pattern that you're not worthy of happiness, because otherwise you're always going to be swimming against the current. If the internal narrative is always that you don't deserve to be happy, or you're not deserving of love or positive things happening to you, then no matter what, how hard you try to change things around you, that thing's always going to revert it, and you're going to end up doing something that cancels all the effort. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is like no excuses, you know, and it's not something that I always feel like I can say, because I feel like I was born in very lucky circumstances in a lot of regards, but there are no excuses, you know, because in a lot of ways, because of where you come from, you not taking your circumstances as a reason for why you can't do certain things has an extremely high potential of inspiring a lot of people that are born like not in freaking France and America and whatever, you know, where the odds are higher of reaching for crazy dreams.
I like the contrast in that advice.
I think it's both of those. I think it's a deep psychological thing that's going to take time, and that's with you know, self-care, a bit of routine here and there, and some therapy and exercise, like little things like that, and good friendships and good relationships, bit by bit, like that helps. Awareness too, just paying attention to it. Oh, see, there it is. Why is it coming up? What's triggering it now, you know? And then the second one is like, cool, I'm gonna do it no matter what. Even with a black stallion brain, doesn't matter. Change is always possible.
Feeling stagnant is a complicated feeling. It's hard to assess for ourselves the value of it when it's actually happening, because a lot of our greatest growth happens through hardship. It's also easy to forget that this year has been unlike anything we've ever experienced before. And so the main lesson I can give you right now is patience. A lot of forces have been working against all of us this past year. Growth is also not the linear upward line we always expect, but rather a messy line that looks a bit more like a roller coaster sometimes. We'll make improvements in our lives and feel like we're on an amazing run, and then lose our job, break out of our relationship, or not see the return on our effort we'd hoped for. And that's okay. Life is a constant ebb and flow of things working and sometimes just not working. Accepting that will help you keep your head high when you're down and stay humble when you're up. So let's give ourselves some space to properly assess what's happening. Do our best to not distract ourselves to avoid dealing with our problems. And then, one baby step at a time, make the effort to look at our situation as an opportunity rather than as a problem. We'll see you next week. I'm your host for this episode, Thomas Bragg. But I would not be here without my friend, Amar. This episode was produced by Luke Himmelsbach and was edited and sound designed by Travis Loafman. The S3 podcast is produced by Luke Himmelsbach for Expedition Audio. From Headspace Studios, this show is produced by Danny Karasimi. Additional production help from Demira Pierre. The executive producers are Leah Sutherland, Morgan Selzer, and Sam Rogaway.